Ich bin Beata.
I'm Beata. Beata Hubrich. I'm a legal expert lawyer.
Werde heute
and today I will present to you two theses and those and
dieses Vortrags begründen.
And within this talk I will show you why they are true together with Yuri, Nuri, sorry.
These hört sich so
our first thesis
so leicht an, so widerlegbar.
Yeah, well, it sounds so soft, so easy to prove wrong, but it's a bit more.
Stand 2025 der
in 2025 our German jurisprudence said in a friendly way, I can't recommend sharing your private network access point with other people. So use tunnels which are going out somewhere or going into an organization, a lawyer, but as a private individual sharing my access point, not, more than, if, not having any special tools just because I have a legal relation, a contract with provider, there is the risk that I may get issues for copyright violations of other people using this access point. And so according to this jurisprudence, it's not law, it's only jurisprudence. I cannot recommend, and I will explain you why exactly, to share your access. The second thesis is law as a science is a nice term and also a great promise behind it, but I think we only have law as an institution and also as an instrument of power. But we have issues with the science part. Science needs data, needs access to jurisprudence, to legal rulings, and not just in single cases, and also need a neutral way of choosing it. And as we don't have that, we don't have the science that I, for example, imagine, which is that I can work with real, valid data. That's what we will talk about. We will always come back to that, and we want to prove that. Both, number one, not sharing your access, and secondly, have more possibilities to work for research.
Also wir stehen auch hier, so
and
wie
we
uns
are also here, so the way we met and also got to know others which have, we have the same views on that, we want to expand this, making demands, working together.
But
lots of people who are affected by the jurisprudence we will talk about, that this culture of unavailability of access to our jurisprudence. That's why we are having this talk. I hope to get this moving. We're not at point zero. We will show you that there are citizens initiatives which are partially working, but there is lots behind a paywall in economic areas. But we want to live in a different system. Both is connected to each other. One of them happens because the system behind it allows it. That's a typical mechanism that we know.
So we're going to be here after the talk. We're going to take time, and I hope you don't have any important talks or shifts after this. And otherwise, feel free to hit us up or email us, and we can keep in contact. But please don't hit me up too hard. I'm a bit sensitive. So what we're tossing at the wall, you're going to see walls of text. Please don't worry about that. This is mostly for people to watch it later and look up the details, references, etc. So, as schedule, let's just toss it on here. We have done the About Us part already. We're going to throw details at the wall later. And then there's going to be our core theses. Yeah, talked about this a bit already. Then we're going to talk about the state of the law today, bit of an intro into this. And finally, we're going to ask a question. How far can you actually do research to the state of the jurisprudence here in Germany? All right. So I'm here because I generally am in favor of the idea of free access to public transport, culture, education, etc. Yeah, also to money and habitation, etc. And to the communication means internet. And I'm also here because I've been dealing with this for a long, long time. It's been a decade and a half that I've dabbled in this, and this is the result of the fights that I didn't fight alone, but I've been in them and I've watched them. And in 2017, we had a spark of hope, but it's been 8 years later, and you all don't know what has happened since then, and it's a bit telling. Yeah, Nuri. Hi. I didn't really think about it too hard. I thought the file-sharing subject was not nice, but I eventually realized, oh, wait a second, can we really do see how verdicts are being made, and what does this do with the rule of have to do with the rule of law? So it's really tough stuff. So I thought this can't happen in German courts, right? This is not possible. And yeah, she had to show me a couple of verdicts until I believed it. And so before we conclude the About Us part, there's one About You part. I'm going to ask you one thing. There's one or two opportunities where we're going to ask you to participate, kind of show of hands. But we don't like the show of hands part because you're identifiable, so I'd ask you to murmur a word. So please, all mumble, sharing, 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 sharing.
Ah,
thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Cool.
Cool. So let's get started with the machine-readable verdicts.
Starting with the machine-readable verdicts here. So I'm mostly working around the topic of why do all verdicts have to be publicly accessible and why that's currently not quite the case. And what we did 2 weeks ago here. So for this, we're taking an example to work through the legal science here. And here, regarding copyright and the ownership and their
ihr dürft ja gar nichts
liability,
wenn ihr privat teilt. Ihr dürft auch nicht auf irgendwelche Geräte.
So you may not.
Die mit euch den Anschluss nutzen.
You may not share anything when you are sharing a network connection.
Das erklären wir noch. Wir kommen noch darauf zu sprechen.
We will explain this further and talk about it more. But we're talking about file sharing processes here.
Genau.
Aber wir kommen leider über die Rechtsprechung zu dieser Pflicht, die ich
so through the legal jurisdiction at the moment, we're coming to this.
Als Anwalt, was man mag und wozu man raten muss, sind manchmal
zwei Verschiedene. Einfach als Bürger, also ich.
To this situation.
Also dass das keiner von uns will und dass das keiner von uns kann mit legalen Mitteln, ist ja.
So obviously none of us wants that, but we as lawyers have to follow what's legally given at the moment.
Nicht haben zu der Rechtsprechung. Das sind im Prinzip, wenn Juristen über die Rechtsprechung reden, erzählen sie Anekdoten.
So if we as lawyers talk about the current judiciary, we are telling anecdotes.
Das ist jetzt auch nicht was ich jetzt als als Schriftstellerin mir ausgedacht habe, wäre auf jeden Fall schön. Also natürlich.
So this is also not what I just thought up here. There's always sources to reference to. But it's always different how the judiciary works with different legal verdicts. So it can be totally different in other environments.
Vielleicht, das ist dann das letzte Slide, wo wir vielleicht tatsächlich Hilfe bekommen.
So on the last slide, we're hoping to get some support from you as the audience.
Der Verständigungsrat, also ja, ist so hoch wie nirgendwo. Das ist eigentlich wirklich ein Genuss. Ich finde es total toll, das machen zu können.
Nowhere a higher participation by the audience than we have here.
So we will stay in the anecdotal area because we can't reach everyone and everything in here. But in any theory, so the basic conflict in those file-sharing cases is, on one side we have legal certainty, so the law says, especially the European law, we have a lot saying share your networks, economically not share. Sharing our networks would be an absolute disaster. Access to living, to your bank accounts, to travels, everything is going through the internet. All your private life, of course, we have to, in this society, as how it works, we have to share and we need legal certainty and legal security. So if I follow the will of the lawmakers, I'm sharing and I need a legal security for that. I can't live with the danger of doing something legal, but still have liabilities. And that's communication law. The other side is copyright. And that has a lot to do with effective remedy to courts.
So von der Idee her, genau. Darum geht's, ja. Hier gibt es auch Juristen.
Wir können sonst eine Umfrage machen und ihr murmelt effektiver Rechtsschutz, effektiver Rechtsschutz, effektiver Rechtsschutz.
Das bedeutet, dass wenn jemand materielle Rechte besitzt.
So that means if someone has rights such as copyright to your movie, to whatever you created, then for that person it needs to be possible, if he has a damage, to go to court and get legal protection. That's effective remedy. That's the main, that's how people argue for the liability of.
Ja, also genau, die Urheberrechte.
Connection or access points, owners. Liability. And communication has developed to like a super basic right. And we don't have something that balances the interests, but we are saying we need to have someone who is liable if we have a copyright violation in the internet. That's the idea behind that, and that's it. That's the short version of both of that. So it's cool to have any verdict of the Federal Court of Justice when they say, yeah, as a basic right, family is better. But if we don't have effective remedy for copyright, then that's a problem. And what's more, the lawmakers are not incompetent. And they have seen that basic rights are colliding here, and there is a mechanism called blocking in the law to balance those interests or basic rights. But in practice, we don't talk about that because when it's about blocking, there is no money for Abmahnung, which is a legal concept in Germany. So we are exchanging a lot of ideas right now, but here in this area, the lawmakers came on this concept because effective legal protection goes to blocking, but there is no money in there. So that's why we are still only talking about jurisprudence and not about what the lawmakers actually want. So now I've spoiled you enough. What's about today in core? If we talk about the ratios between lawmakers and judiciary. Lawmakers often want one thing, but the court's not always doing that. So if we have some very mean laws which are not which do not comply with basic laws, for example, that happened often before in German history, as you know, then it's right that courts do not do that, but deviate from this. And how does that work? Well, it's going through the different court instances, and at one point it will end up at the highest court, then it goes into literature, and then the lawmakers will note that.
So yeah, here's the instances. It's, well, German legalese. Basically, there's different tiers of courts and you can escalate through those. And there's two important topics and you want to go through the instances. So one of the parties needs to take legal means and remedies. So if one of the parties does not like the verdict, and they can turn to the next level of courts, make an appeal, etc., and have it tried again in a higher level of court. The problem is that it doesn't happen these days. So if a certain category of cases about doesn't make it past a certain level of court, then lawmakers do not take note and would need to notice this on another way, that there's an area of law in need of correction, since there's no high-level verdicts being made about those. And yeah, speaking of correction and control. So there is two ways of this. We're waiting for the verb, sorry. There's two ways for judges of dealing with these cases. It's one is about conflict of interest, that there's a, then the case gets referred to a colleague who is not as involved in the case, and there's the turning to a higher level of court. So the judges who meet each other in the hall every day are supposed to control each other. It's a bit difficult. And the second thing is a breach of legal right to be heard. It can be referred back to the original judge. This was the case, but you did not take into consideration matter A, B, C, and D. So please look at this again and try again. So how many of you know this remedy? This community thrives on collaboration and policing each other. And I love how you do this. It's very constructive. It works great. And yeah, and I hope can do this collaboration again next year. But that's this community. That's not the judiciary at large. So since the aughts, I've worked in law firms, and this remedy gets used, but it's almost never successful. No judge has sat down and said, oh yeah, and this is also, of course, a nice story once again. I've heard it from colleagues, from friends. They have never told me that a judge has corrected themselves. But these are the two legal means built into our system. And they sound real great in theory, but it also paints a very positive picture of the judges. They're taking it very seriously, they hate in position in society, and so they're going to deal like that with the cases they try. So it operates on the basis that the trial is always fair. Everybody has the same chance, but in practice, again, a story. It doesn't work. neither does work. And now let's go to the last point on this slide. So if I've had a number of trials in a certain area as a law firm or a legal person, and then I do not want that the actual state of law where I've had my trials, I don't want it tested and looked at. It might make sense before the other party has a complaint. Before we do this again, drag it out for 3 years, hey, maybe I reduce how much you owe me, I pay you a bit more, so we can settle this out of court. And so this is also exerting control about how far it goes through the levels of courts. Yeah, and we're going to look at an example.
So what's an Abmahnung or legal warning as a German concept? File sharers are getting a legal warning or Abmahnung, and they're being accused of sharing data contents protected by copyright. That may be a movie, a music, a game, whatever. And we found that person through their through the IP address that participated in file sharing, and then there's a pretty long letter and containing a long list of verdicts of the Federal Court of Justice, and then the addressee is being is getting the demand to sign the declaration that he won't do this again, so I won't share this file ever again, and then they also demand damages or damage compensation and also legal fees. That's how it works. So now we're going into the into fact checking. So what we are telling here, whether that's really true. It's about internet access. Before we had a concept of those who disturb something are liable, where the lawmaker said for a second time, no, we don't want this so-called Störerhaftung. The liability for interference. Then after 2017, where we thought everything's fine now, liability of interference is gone, we got into a somewhat contract-ish liability between the person having the internet connection and the person holding the copyrights. So even though we have a Federal Court of Justice decision saying there is no contract-ish or no legal relation, and there is no right of the copyright owner to access information, or but the jurisdiction is construing this according to a complex thing in paragraph 138 of the German Civilian Process Act. So, Code of Civil Procedure. So, before, and now we have a new concept which still makes you having to pay damage compensation. You're not being sued anymore because you have to stop doing something, but now you are the one causing the damage, you are the perpetrator. So it seems that the Federal Court of Justice finally understood, well, we share our, all those exchange pages on the web. They finally concluded that it needs some restriction, but still they consider the person using the internet access point has to tell the copyright holder or give them enough information to make sure that they can find the person who actually committed the copyright violation. They have to give that information. Now we don't have now we have the Digital Services Act, not the Telemedia law anymore, and In Article 4 of the DSA, it says that the that there is a limitation of liability, and also in the Digital Services Act, not as a EU law but as a German law, it says there is no liability for what others do as long as you didn't participate in that. As long as you didn't know about that and considered it to be good or gave them your access point for that, then you're a perpetrator. If you can prove that you are the perpetrator. But that's a liability of offense and not a a civilian or not a classic liability. And now I know two lawsuits going for copyright violations of 2015. And now the court say, well, it's 10 years ago.
And
the court says the the right to get this information
there's certain laws in insurance law. I need to do certain things so I don't suffer from anything. This is also in lease law, but there's no legal contractual relationship, and so the obligations have been laid out by the lawmaker. So if they had wanted that the contract holder informs the other party about who uses this access, seems to be told. So there have been myriads of laws and amendments to laws about the Digital Services Act, etc., etc. This has all been done, and no obligation to disclose. And there's another obligation. Whenever you get the letter to cease and desist, I need to do everything I can to get the perpetrator, need to document this in case I get sued maybe later. And this is the only way to get out of this liability. And this is the real big problem that we have here. And if you could go to the next slide. Yeah. So 2010, there was this famous decision. We were all really, really taken aback. The court said the access point needs to be secured, and there was a lot of arguing. And the idea was that an internet access, a means of communication, is of course a danger zone and the source of danger. So if you don't do anything, damages happen. I use the internet a lot, and there was no damage done. Yes. So lawmakers said, no, it's not liability of the perpetrators. So now we're going to time travel. So this is the receipts. We're not making this up. 2007. There we have a privilege of liability. If you go on, yeah, I talked about this. And this is 2017. It's not liability of the perpetrator in the Digital Services Act and the Digital Services. And this did not change, but it was made even more explicit.
Okay.
I'm going to try to speed through this. So the perpetrator liability is gone. The contractual partner is not the suing party, but it's the perpetrator. And okay, now to my points. We're speed running this. Is the slide still up? Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, so in this case, hi. So to sum it up, the lawmaker says who offers the service is not liability. We don't have 10 minutes. We need to speed run this. show the diagram. We are so sorry. So to sum it up once, I'm going to hurry up. It's going to be a wild ride. Buckle in. The provider of the services does not assume liability. Court said, yeah, this costs 150, 325. Pay the fine, we're good. It's all a bit... it's a really chatty verdict, but it's not about bashing anybody, but the content is more like the law says, oh, there's privilege and liability for the uninvolved. If I don't deal with it, I'm not obligated. And the courts are not really experts in all this telecommunication thing. They say secondary burden of proof, you have these obligations, deal with it. And so we had high hopes. So right now, lawmakers said access provider, even the private one, does not assume liability. The lawyers, the courts are silent on this. The law firms are, yeah, pay 500, 2,500 bucks. Just, it's a conservative estimate. It's just an example. And how it feels like for us is, yeah, this meme, because nothing is happening anymore. And we can't just let hopes die. So, third act, 2022, what is going on here? So what does this, so lawmakers act as soon as there's a verdict. If there's no verdict, then nothing happens on the lawmaker side. I'm going to skip all the precise laws, skip it. We have looked at the numbers of proceedings. We can do this in 5 minutes. I have faith in us. So 2024, there's how many verdicts in Germany in 1 year. I focused on civil proceedings just for easier disability's sake. So here's the numbers, here's the figures. You can email me if I got it wrong. And this is the results, 1.2 million circa. And there's also pending cases. We're not talking about those, they're still pending. And I've looked at Juris, what is findable in terms of data, and I've had this figure. So we have 1.2 million of verdicts, and at Juris it's about half, that's not bad, but wait. But why does Juris have more verdicts? Juris is a legal database in Germany. And wait, I did not limit Juris to 2024. This was all verdicts since the 1800s. If we actually limit to 2024, we get to this number. And yeah, look at it, behold it. And this is why we say scientific research is a bit hard. It's a bit hard to get our hands on the data because it's important. Juris is a half state thing, so if you get the verdicts if you pay for them. It's available on some contingencies. But wait, what if I counted wrong? Yeah, okay, let's just double the Juris number. Let's just say my margin of error was 100%. Yeah, the picture still looks the same. But there's other sources, of course. But before we look at those, we're going to look at the spread over the courts. Are there any, how representative is it? So if we look at 2024, the verdicts, is this as expected? The highest level is on the right, the lowest level is on the left. We haven't looked at this court, but it's funny. You can see how many verdicts are available at Juris. It's the thin white line. And if you know that kind of diagram... Oh, wait, why are the lines so much higher on the left? Yeah, on the left side... of course, it starts with a lot and it goes down and it goes down. And if I drew this line... To the left? Yeah, no, no, the line actually looks more like this. Because, and just, you know, I'll be very brief. At the courts like this, the judges, if they've written out their verdict, do I want it published for research, for humanity? Yes, no. And at the lower level courts, it's more no. Next, higher levels, yeah, they're more likely to say, yes, please publish this. So, because these are cases that have gone through multiple instances, and so when it gets to them, it's obviously a significant verdict. So the universities need this, lawmakers need this, research need this, and it's going to drive lawmaking further. Yeah. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Exactly. There's civil courage, and I'm going to invest the minute in this because this is important to me. OpenEUR is a page where you find publicly available verdicts. And I personally really think the number of verdicts that's on there, it's about 10,000. It's about the same as Juris. I don't know the really exact figure, but this is my best estimate. And what's also very important to me, that's the annual report of OpenEUR, and the administrative costs are €0. But the press speaker of Juris makes a lot of more money. I'm not going to talk about the year before, I just want to point out these people are very busy with a great budget. So if you have money to spare, if you know somebody who has money to spare, they don't know I'm banging a drum for them, please donate. So, last slide for you. Just doing some maths for you. There's 638 low-level courts in Germany. We have Back Online is the great legal publisher. At Back Online, we saw 2024, there's less than 2,000 verdicts were made public. So let's say low-level courts. So 20 verdicts a week times, let's say 50, because we are counting for 2 weeks of vacation, times 638 and above. And of this huge number, they published 2,000. They don't know. We don't know what these courts do. And from January 1, 2026, if the value of the trial is anything, BGH is
Streitereien über. Only the first instance is facts, and that's only what the local courts are doing in the first instance, and everything else is only law and not the case itself anymore. And we don't know how the local courts work because there's so little information, less than 1% of those decisions being published. So thank you so much for your interest. Sharing. I first wanted to hear money, but we have the money, but well. So we have a website, we have MedApp website, where you can just upload websites, just upload if you want to. We publish nothing without anonymizing them, but we work with that. We want to know more about that, more about jurisprudence, which is affecting us all. Thank you so much.